It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
General managers, presidents of baseball operations, front offices only have a couple days to upgrade these teams if they want to trade with other teams and complete these rosters. After that, they're going to be pulling from their own minor leagues. And so the next couple days is going to be super busy. And what we're seeing so far, there it is a seller's market. There's not enough inventory, and there it seems like every team needs bullpen help. To talk about the trade deadline, we bring in Will Salmon from The Athletic. Will covers the Mets, but also wrote an interesting article, co-authored an interesting article about the trade deadline and bullpen arms. Hey, Will, how are you?
Hey, Lori. Good to be on with you. Doing pretty well over here.
Let's start off with it. Is so far from what you've seen, how would you characterize this trade deadline in terms of some of the values that you have been seeing, especially what's been going for starting pitching? Pitching in general.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've kind of seen a couple of teams really act pretty aggressively in terms of maybe how we sort of expected it to unfold with, like, say, like the Rays or the Marlins. Those were teams that we thought would be pretty busy right now, and they are. It's just the asking prices for some of these players, I think, has really, I don't want to say caught people by surprise, but it's definitely kind of led to some surprise or some shock inside the industry or some restraint, I guess. People are kind of holding on to their prospect a little bit more tightly, just because the asking price for a couple of these guys are pretty high. For instance, Tanner Scott from the Marlins is one of the more popular names out there for bullpen help. We were told that the asking price there is probably two prospects inside the top 15 for a club. That's a lot for somebody that's going to pitch for you maybe 20 innings for the rest of the way, and that's just not a lot. And so, a lot of teams are trying to do a little bit about what the Mets are trying to do right now, and that's acquire some bullpen help, but do so without giving up a whole lot in terms of your future. So far, we've seen David Stearns do that with the Mets, where he's taking on two new relievers without giving up a whole lot. But at the same time, there's a little bit of a calculation that you're making there in terms of performance, because those two guys, the Mets acquired, Phil Maton and Ryan Stanek, respectively, they're not the names like that I just mentioned with Tanner Scott or Carlos Estevez, the former Angels closer who moved to the Phillies for a high price. So you're taking on, a little bit of a risk there as far as performance goes, but it really comes to the idea that there's just not a whole lot of sellers, like you mentioned, Lori, like it's a seller's market. So we have teams taking advantage of that, and it's leading to some high asking prices in terms of prospects, and clubs are kind of, trying to be operating with a little bit more restraint.
I always wonder in the off season when there are, pitchers, relief pitchers to be had in free agency, and I watch teams when it's only going to cost you money, often they take an approach. Well, we think these guys can be okay, and these young guys will be okay, and this blend of talent will be okay. And then it happens, and it happens every year at the trade deadline that it seems every contender needs bullpen help. And yet why is that a cycle that, call it, especially teams like the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the big market teams that have the big payrolls anyway, why are more teams not just loading up when all it's going to cost you is dollars?
Yeah, sometimes they do. It's just that there's so many innings across the regular season that you have to account for that I do think a lot of teams budget for this kind of thing, even if they're not going to necessarily say so. They are going to budget like, hey, traditionally, generally speaking, this is an area where teams tend to be okay when it comes to looking at the inventory midway through the season and saying, okay, if the guys who we signed in the offseason didn't pan out or they got injured or whatever the case is, by midseason we could look and we could address this. And typically that's how it's unfolded, year after year after year. But with the expanded playoffs, more teams are in it now. That inventory shrinks up a little bit. And so now you have less of that. And I've had a couple of executives, I asked them like, okay, like, which relievers or how many relievers are you on or what's it looking like? And they look at me they sound almost befuddled because it's like, well, what do you mean? How many? There's not that many to be had here. So there's only these guys. And so that's kind of like where things are at. And also, look, I mean, like the Mets have hit on some internal guys, whether it was, Reed Garrett or Bednall Nunez and some other guys who have kind of stepped up on minor league contracts. It's just that kind of thing. It's I don't want to say it's not sustainable, but it's one of those things where if you're getting sort of performances from those areas, that's like a bonus. And so you kind of have to continue to add and add and add. And so part of it is this is what's always been baked in. And then part of it is, this is just one of those years where there's just not a whole lot of separation between a whole bunch of teams, particularly in the wild card hunt.
So you mentioned Scott from the Marlins and that you're hearing teams, whether that's, a team like the Yankees, for instance, would have to give up two of their top prospects, potentially top 15 prospects to deal for somebody like Scott. There's an interesting team that I wonder about. Have you heard much about the Blue Jays and what they might do at the deadline? Because I look at a team like the Blue Jays and whether it's starting pitching or a guy like a Chad Green in the bullpen, there seems like even Vlad Guerrero, potentially, whatever it is. What are you hearing that the Blue Jays may do in the next 2 days?
Yeah, the Blue Jays are one of the more interesting teams because, throughout the past couple of weeks, like we've heard that they're probably, because of the way that their roster is set up, where they don't have a whole lot of like free agents that are coming off their books, and it's more so guys who are under contract through the following year, 2025, where like if they hold on to some of these guys, whether it's Chris Bassitt, who's not going to be a free agent until 2026, or Bo Bichette was the name that was like that. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the biggest name that falls under that category. So the idea is, from their perspective, is like, hey, if we hold on to these guys, we still have a pretty solid core group of guys here that we could build on, and we could just try again. And so we don't really have to, build up from scratch here. But that said, the idea is, look, we just spent so much time talking about how few sellers there are, and that you could get a whole lot for these types of players if you're willing to trade, Kikuchi, the starting pitcher, who's probably going to go as a free agent. Other guys like Kevin Gausman could come up, Chris Bassitt, who I mentioned. If you're willing to trade like the latter two names there, you could probably get a whole lot and you could maybe take advantage in this market, but it kind of depends because, if they're still seeing themselves as a team that could really make a run next year, then maybe it doesn't serve them too well. But you're right. I mean, like they have guys like that. There's Chad Green, who you mentioned, has a pretty high salary that they could deal from if they have a team that's willing to take that on. He's going to be a free agent after 2025. So there's a bunch of names and you're right. They're probably one of the more intriguing teams right now in the market.
You mentioned a few of those starting pitchers and Bassett in there. Is that a player? Well, let's look at the Mets right now. So relief pitching is fascinating. Every team needs it. As you said, David Stearns has been tinkering around, whether that was with Phil Maton, Ryan Stanek, or even an Alex Young. He's been tinkering around and adding to the bullpen. And the Mets, like every team, could certainly use bullpen help. But with the injuries to starting pitchers, and especially with Kodai Senga, the Mets, I think, need a starting pitcher. So we'll start with, are you hearing that the number one thing that David Stearns is looking for right now is actually starting pitching help? Is that what the Mets are looking at? And what type of pitcher are you hearing they may be looking at?
Pretty much. And that's different than before Kodai Senga got injured. Because before Kodai Senga went down, all I heard was, hey, we feel pretty solid about our starting rotation. And in my opinion, I thought that they still needed to add there, even if he was going to be healthy, because you're putting a whole lot of stock in him continuing to be healthy. So that's where I was standing on it. But they, from all I heard from outside and inside, was they felt pretty good about it. They weren't necessarily looking or exploring that. Once he got injured, that changed. And they started to explore that. They started to talk internally about it. And then they really tapped pretty much everywhere when it comes to starting pitching market. Now, do I think they wind up with somebody like a Blake Snell or something like that? That may be a little bit too rich for their taste, I would think.
Is it too rich in terms of dollars, or you're saying too rich in terms of the prospects that it will cost to make a trade like that?
Yeah, great question. My read on that is it's too rich in terms of the prospects, but it could also be too rich in terms of the dollars. I think it's more so the prospect cost there, where, look, we've seen it before throughout, like you mentioned, with the relievers. You know, David Stearns, his history shows that he's just not going to trade like his top prospects for a rental reliever. And that's what he hasn't done that with the Mets either. And then as far as the starting pitching goes, it's kind of twofold in my opinion. I don't think that their farm system is going to distinguish them from another team. For example, like, let's just use randomly the Milwaukee Brewers, right? So say for like Eric Fetty, if both of them are competing for him, I would imagine that the Brewers have a better offer out there. That's just my guess, my pure speculation, just because they have a better farm system. So that's part of it as well. And there's also that reluctancy that I talked about earlier, that they may not want to part from the top of their system to get a starting pitcher. So it wouldn't surprise me if they started to look more toward like depth starters. And I think even that would be helpful, because there's just so many questions in their starting rotation. These guys are, you know, they feature some performance questions, but also some workload questions as we get into August.
Yeah, but if it's a depth starter, first of all, every Met fan just, was crying in their beer a little bit. That's underwhelming. I think fans are hoping for better than simply a depth starter. But even if it's a depth starter, that needs to be somebody who's, I would assume, got to be better than a Peterson or McGill or Tyler McGill.
I would think so. If I was making that trade, that's what I would look for, because it to me, it's a huge question. It's something that you have to upgrade. And this team has demonstrated that they're pretty good. And I just don't think that pretty good teams should have any shortcomings, if at all possible, after this deadline. Like, this is what this is for. Like, you sort of address those.
So what are some names because it's a fungible concept. A depth starter could mean a lot. You know, one person's depth starter can be a Michael Lorenzen. Somebody else's depth starter could be someone else. Like, what's your idea of what are some potential names of who's a depth starter?
Yeah, the name that comes to mind would be like a Michael Lorenzen. That's where I would kind of draw that line. And that's a great question, because like you said, it's pretty arbitrary, right? Like, where you draw the line, where I draw the line, it's fuzzy. And earlier I was told pretty much they're looking everywhere. So I don't want to discredit anyone or rule anything out beyond what I said earlier. But yeah, something like that seems to make sense. Like a guy like Michael Lorenzen, there's others out there, Kikuchi, that we talked about with the Jays, that comes to mind. There's guys from various teams. You know, the Rockies have a couple of starters who could be pretty solid away from Coors Field. Like, there are guys there. It just circles all the way back to what we've been talking about, the asking price and what they're willing to part with.
Talking to Will Salmon about the trade deadline, about some of the pitching that may be available, and about the New York Mets and what they might do. If they can't find somebody, or even if they just get a depth starter, who from the minor leagues, if anybody, could have an impact this season? I'll just toss out, like, I know it would be potentially rushing him, but is there any possibility that the Mets would look to somebody like a Brandon Sproat, whether that's starter or bullpen?
Yeah, I had asked on that about a week or two ago, and the impression that I got was probably not. I think that they'd probably be more inclined, because right now he's in Double A, so the way that it was sort of relayed to me was they probably would be more inclined to have him just continue that development, go to AAA, and then start, you know, next year in AAA and kind of see where he's at heading into next year. I don't know. There are definitely some people that I talked to in the league who may have a different answer to that based on seeing him. They're pretty excited about it. But to answer your question on that, Mike Basil, Dom Hamill, a couple of guys like that who have not had pretty good years at all in AAA, it's been very uneven for those guys. They've been better lately, I would say, and they've made some repertoire changes, and they've tried to figure things out down there. But that's kind of like why I push hard, or I would be pushing hard on the starting rotation, because I just wouldn't feel that strongly about what you have if something were to happen or something else were to go wrong. I think you'd almost have to be in a situation where you move Buddo back to the rotation. And that's something that I'm not sure how thrilled they would be to do something like that because of how well he's pitched in the bullpen. So they're just a little bit thinner because of the injuries, not only to Kodai Senga, but to Christian Scott as well, in terms of people that you want to be starting games for you when you're, you know, 500 games over .500. And like I said, you've demonstrated that you're a pretty solid team here.
Speaking of injuries, so what is the latest on Christian Scott? And are the Mets at all optimistic that he will be back this season?
Yeah, so right now I think that they have to wait like another week or so before they really have a strong idea of what they have there. Christian Scott, to his credit, has kind of kept a pretty positive attitude. He's a lot more upbeat about the situation than I would be personally, tell you that much. He's keeping a positive attitude about it, but he really won't know more, he said, until maybe about a week or so. Then maybe he'll, get another test or something like that, and then have more information when it comes to, okay, can I start throwing right now? Or is this something where I'm going to be shut down for a little bit longer than that? Or do I have to have this surgery now? So that's to be determined.
Okay, and then David Peterson, I saw after the game, said his arm was fine. On the ESPN broadcast, they referenced as if Peterson was hurt. The latest information there is, I know Peterson, during the start today, was shaking his arm out a little bit, but are you hearing anything from the Mets that Mets fans should be worried about David Peterson?
Not yet, at least. I mean, he was pressed on that quite a bit, a couple of times, and he reiterated that he was totally fine, that there was nothing to it. He doubled down on that answer multiple times, and Carlos Mendoza also didn't seem to be too worried about it after the game. So that's where things were at that point. Could change, but as of right now, that's kind of what the feeling was after the game, that there was nothing to it.
And so far, obviously, we talked about the bullpen. The Mets did also make a trade for a bat, for an outfield bat, in Jesse Winker. And what do you think is the fit there between player and team right now, and what the Mets need?
Well, they needed to upgrade there to get a better left-handed bat, because they just weren't getting much production from that out of DJ Stewart. And so they had to make a change there. And you don't know how much longer Marte is going to be out for. It doesn't sound like there's any clarity there as far as when he's going to begin a rehab assignment. So he still could be a few weeks away. And so you are going to need more. And what this does is it allows you to play, you know, Winker some in right field. And then you could maybe platoon at second base with Iglesias, who's slowed down a bit, and Jeff McNeil, who's gotten hot. So you could kind of platoon them a little bit at second base and then start Winker against right-handed pitching in right field, assuming everybody else is healthy. It also allows you to put him at DH for JD Martinez some days so that you don't have to ride him as hard as the Mets have been riding him, and kind of keep him fresh and productive. So it helps him quite a bit. You know, Jesse Winker is a guy who's really changed his career around this year. He's gotten himself in some seriously good shape. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I mean, he's up to like 15, something like that, stolen bases, which is pretty unheard of for him because he's never been somebody like that. But kind of turned his game around while leaning on what's always been his calling cards with a little bit of power and some good good chase rates, good recognition of strike zone. So he brings that to the fold. It just really lengthens out their lineup, and it's a good add because it just adds to their strength of their club. So as much as we talk about their pitching staff, it's really how far is this lineup going to take them? So I do like the fact that they added to it and just shored up that small weakness that they had and gave them just another well-rounded guy to kind of lean on, because you're going to continue to need these guys and build on that depth.
What does David Stearns have to do between now and Tuesday night for you to say he had a successful trade deadline?
I would say definitely add a starting pitcher and then probably add another reliever as well. That's where I would be on the issue, just because it's susceptible right now. The rotation is susceptible to another injury or poor performance, and you just really can't have that. In the second half when you're trying to push, and you know this team has shown you that they're pretty solid and that they're capable of, you know, making a pretty good run here.
All right, and finally, a little preview. The Mets about to face, I guess it shows you what happens at the trade deadline. The Mets about to face Simeon Woods Richardson, a player they traded away. Is that a kind of a cautionary tale for what happens at the trade deadline?
That could be very much so. I mean, he's had a nice year for the Twins. People will remember that trade from a couple of years ago. It's just the price of doing business sometimes, though, because you just don't know when you're trading these top prospects. But at the same time, you know, we could go through a whole different list of guys who have never made it and look back and say, well, you know, why didn't they do this? So yes, it is a little bit of that, and good for him. He's pitched well. He's definitely progressed in his career. I think he's got like a 3.25 ERA or something like that through 80 something innings, and he's been pretty solid and solidified himself in that rotation. And I'm excited to see him. But still, if I'm on the other side of this, and if I'm the Mets, I mean, this is a team that, you know, the Mets have not won a whole lot over the years. I would be more willing, in my own opinion, to part with prospects than it seems like that they're acting right now. They're trying to live in two worlds, and I respect that, and it requires a lot of discipline. And a lot of people across the league respect it, but at the same time, it seems to be worthwhile to capitalize on the moment right now.
Yeah, I think the lineup ended up, and there's a little more momentum going on with that and their ability to score runs, and they clearly don't have the pitching yet. But as we all know, if you get hot at the right time, you never know. And right now for the Mets, if Senga's not there, that's where if they're just adding that back-end starter for depth or whatever it is, usually with a potential playoff team, you kind of know who's the game one starter, and you're asking, all right, who's starting game two? Who's starting game three? With the Mets, it's like they don't have a game one starter. And that's where you wonder, like, you know, how all in can you be trading prospects at the deadline when you just don't have that top of the rotation type starting pitcher?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's kind of like what some people with the Mets have kind of talked about a little bit is that, hey, like, we've gotten this far, and this has kind of been the mold of our team, and we think we can continue to sort of stay on this pace and play above 500 and continue to grab a wild card spot with this group of pitchers in our rotation. But I'm with you. I mean, I definitely have some concerns there. Right now it would line up probably, but with Luis Severino and then, you know, maybe Sean Manaea after that. But yeah, I mean, for Severino too, I mean, this is the most innings he's pitched in what, 5-6 years.
Yep.
Sean Manaea, he was not a full-time starter last year. Jose Quintana is 35 years old. Miguel and Peterson have never shown the ability to pitch past the fifth inning consistently. So there's questions 1 through 5 as things stand right now, let alone, you know, 1, 2, 3 in the playoff situation. So yeah, I think you have to get in first to kind of worry about those things sometimes. And to what you said earlier, sometimes you never know when you get in and you're playing well and you just do things differently anyway. And you could play a little bit unconventionally sometimes with your pitching staff. And we don't know what emerges between now and the end of September as well. So who knows? But as things stand right now, it definitely looks like that's an area that they have to upgrade between now and the end of the deadline on Tuesday.
All right, so you're saying there's a chance. No, but what it sounds like you're saying is the Flahertys and the Blake Snells and the Jameson Taillons and any of those names that Mets fans should not be expecting anybody like that. You're expecting more of a depth piece.
I would expect maybe more of a modest thing than that, but at the same time, I mean, this is a Steve Cohen run team, and we've seen them be a little bit more opportunistic in the past, so I wouldn't rule it out.
All right, well, we'll see. Yeah, if they are more modest, it means David Stearns is tipping the scale. And if they get a little more aggressive, it means that Steve Cohen is whispering in his ear. We'll find out. Will Salmon from The Athletic, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, take care, Lori.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.